It's 10 o'clock Tuesday. It's not just any Tuesday. It's Election Day Tuesday, Shane, and we are here to make our November 8th Election Day predictions. Senate, House, and governors, will we be right on our predictions? So that's what exactly. we got to know. So, man, this is quite an election. You know, it's an election like we haven't had in the past, I don't think. It's an unusual midterm. It's almost like a presidential election.
Well, it is. And the remarkable thing is, of course, a third of the Senate is up for election, the entire House. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's important is that the number of seats up this time, you know, for governorships, 39
right. out of 50. Yeah.
So that's a real swing year. For that to happen mm-hmm. this year and create the opportunity for the Republicans to pick up, mm-hmm. you know, some blue mm-hmm. or purple state governorships, it could work, you know, depending on whether people mm-hmm. vote down ballot today. We'll see.
Well, that's what we're looking at. Well, we want to start with the governor races, of course, and the contested one, Wisconsin, is the big one. Tim Michaels at 49-5 versus Tony Evers at 49-1. The interesting thing about this, Shane, was back in August, this was 80% Evers and 20% Michaels, and it's totally reversed now, and they're within 0.4 of a point of each other. So quite a remarkable turnaround for Michaels.
Well, the interesting thing is the news cycle. You know, Americans have short memories. They really do. I mean, I'm like, for example, the burning and anarchy of, you know, 2021, mm-hmm. 22, when your cities were afire and it was just riots and destruction. And, you know, I think Americans still remember that because it coalesced with the COVID shutdowns. So I think Americans, you know, sort of associate the shutdowns with both the rioting and COVID, of course, and then mm-hmm. education, because as a result of COVID, they shut down education in a lot of states and wiped out a lot of people's businesses, you know, and mm-hmm. small business, as we know, makes up for 126 million jobs in the mm-hmm. United States of 160. So if Americans have not lost that memory and it's still there, we could see a real generational change today. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it will be interesting. No question about it. Well, the other thing you mentioned, Shane, that Wisconsin was in that burning, looting 2020 deal that summer. Kenosha, they had the trial with Witten, whatever his name was.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
and you have Dixon now. You know, pretty close to Whitner in Michigan, but again, an entire surprise to me. I mean, I would mm-hmm. expect that Dixon, any Republican, would mm-hmm. be ahead of this Gretchen woman, you know, by 5-10 points because of what she did to Wisconsin, mm-hmm. or I mean to Michigan.
Yeah, she's they're 6 points different. She's 6 points ahead there, and. I wonder about that one too. Yeah,
and then yesterday the electors, managers in Detroit, Michigan, you know, put out a party-wide Democrat. Oh my gosh, you know, 30% of African Americans not expected to even vote in the city of Detroit. Like, they're just not going to go vote. So if African Americans don't vote, and then a larger amount vote Republican. Bam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not going to happen in the Hispanic community. They're going to vote. I mean, they respect, love, and want the opportunity to vote. So if that expands to 35%, which, you know, the numbers look like that, again, mm-hmm. bam, the Republicans. Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's why these governorships mm-hmm. are so important, because, you know, that's the mm-hmm. the microcosm of innovation and invention in your country politically mm-hmm. and as a country, you know, that's where all the ideas all bubble up is in the state.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, in New York, Hochul holding on to a pretty sizable lead there. She's about 9 points ahead, and more than likely, she is going to be the governor of New York. That's another one that was up for grabs. And in Pennsylvania,
wait, just hold on one sec. You know, I'm going with my gut on this. I think Zeldin wins. It's been 92 since 1992. You know, the tacky one. But you had the same thing, and I was in New York a number of times in the 90s when Pataki became governor, and watched what he did, and then they elected the great American mayor of New York, and it was remarkable. I mean, I saw the transition over 6 years between 91 and 99, you know, of downtown, you know, New York City. Yeah. I mean, the mess, you know, that was down there with, you know, all the bars and stripper clubs and, you know, it was basically what it is today in a lot of your cities, and they cleaned it all up. I mean, they did it fast. I think people in New York are going, she didn't get elected. She's in there because Cuomo and again, hopefully they have short memories. There's a lot of consideration when you look at polls with Jewish voters, particularly in the state of New York. I mean, you know, there's more Jews in New York than in New York State than in Israel. I mean, it's a kind of large Jewish community in New York.
Well, I don't know. The polls say, she's got a pretty handily lead, and this is as of last night.
Yeah, I know that. We're going through this. I'm just telling you.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
One is Oregon. You know, this is a what's going to happen here sort of thing. And, you know, it's this Kotek.
She's up 44-42.
Getting hammered by this gal.
Drazen. Yeah.
So the Republican, now, again, this is another example of it depends, again, what the American people, have they reached that point of, I'm going to keep going with this. This is not working. Yeah.
Well, the other thing in Oregon you got to remember is that there's 11% that are up for grabs there. Some of those people voting Libertarian or Green Party or whatever may flip one way or the other. And, you know, if they're Libertarians, they'd probably go with Drazen rather than Kotek. So that the independents there, as we've always said, Shane, independents are the ones who call these elections. So
that's right.
You know, that would be quite a turnaround there. But and the same thing with Pennsylvania, where you got Shapiro 54-44 over Mastriano. In New York, or in Pennsylvania, rather, that says Fetterman is in. If that holds true,
To a large degree, I'm not going to argue with that one. I mean, Pennsylvania is one of these quirky situations that it's part of the blue wall in the East, right?
Yeah,
and a lot of people haven't given Doug, a fair. Fair hand with Josh, and the Democrats support millions, tens of millions, well, over 100
into that one, yeah,
in the government and the Senate race. So they're over 100 million in Pennsylvania. Yeah. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, people look at this in Pennsylvania, go, wait, we want to go drill for oil and gas, and we want the industry, and you're going to shut down 400 coal plants and depend on windmills and solar. I mean,
that's what the Democrats want.
If that's what the people of Pennsylvania want, good luck to you, because you know you'll all be back in the 17th century, because there won't be any electricity.
Well, the other thing we've got to take into account, Shane, we'll talk about this as we go along, is that Donald Trump is going to make, he said, a major announcement on the 15th. So he's either going to say he's going to run or I'm not going to run. And some of this is going to be based on how he does in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, Ohio, all those states he needs to win if he decides to run again.
Well, he doesn't need to win, and the Republican Party has. And for 2 years, I've said Trump will run if the Republicans take back the House and the Senate. If they take back the House and the Senate, then he has.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have it. He'll have them on his side, running for president in 2024. If they don't, I mean, if it's only narrow. I mean, I'm calling for 65 plus seats in the House, and 4 plus seats in the Senate. 54 seats total in the Senate after the election. Mm-hmm. And what are they at? 210. So yeah. 265 to 75 in the House. If that happens next Tuesday, Biden's in Indonesia in Bali at the 20 conference, and Vice President Pence's book comes out. He'll have the stage in Mar-a-Lago with his wife and family to announce he's going to run. But he's smart enough to know he needs a week to find out what. Tuesday is those four reasons. The results. Mm-hmm. Wants to be in Mar-a-Lago with his family. Biden's out of the country, and Pence's book comes out. So, because the minute he announced, it's all Trump, everything, because the networks want their money back and their advertising back, and now they can actually talk about it, right?
So. Yeah. All right, let's move to House of Representatives let's start with the things we know for sure. we know Nancy for sure. Nancy is 86 to 13, and Nadler is about the same up there. He's 77, yeah. 77 to 18. So he's in there. All the squad are running ahead. Tlaib and all AOC and Presley and the other gal, they're all running ahead. The interesting one is down on the border of Texas, Shane, where you've got Marla Flores. She won that seat. It's been held by Democrats since Christ was in the manger. I think. That's a long time. 48-9 to 48-6 over Vicente Gonzalez in that race there. So and the next door, Michelle Valero is only ahead by 0.8 of a point over Monica De La Cruz down there. So those could be flipped seats pretty easily for the Republicans. Well, we'll see how that plays out. Yeah.
Well, when you look at the entire map, you know, if you go to Wikipedia and look up the election, they got the map. And, you know, the first thing, of course, that catches your eye is how much is red with regard to the House.
Sure.
And that's because the rural states have one or two or three or four. Of course, it's based on population. But the majority of your country geographically is red. So we're down to a few areas, meaning if you take any type of 30 seats or more off that map that turn red, you've got the Democratic Party, or as I call them, the Demolition Party. They're a regional party. I literally could take 20, a generation, 20 years for them to come back. It really could. Yeah. That's how devastating this could be for them tonight. Now, right now, they have 220 seats, and Republicans have 212. They had 215, but three people have decided to leave or are not there. Yeah. Having said that, the bottom line, they only need six seats to have the majority. Yeah. Well, they're going to win more than six seats.
Yeah.
So, it'll start in Virginia first. There's three seats outside of Washington and Alexandria because of education, what went on there. We know that. And a couple other seats in Virginia. And remember, Virginia just swung red, solid red, The governor there that won he slammed it last year. Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody rode in on his coattails. And that's why we're talking about these governor's races being so important.
Yeah.
That, it can be a big deal there.
But that'll show the entire board for the rest of the night. I mean, if the Republicans pick up 3 seats in Virginia that are very close, then you know, if it's like, you know, is it a win? Is it a wave? You know, is it a wasani? You know, not a tsunami, but a wasani.
Yeah.
You know, if it's one of, you know, you'll know what that is early. You'll know by perhaps 9 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock for me, or, you know, 6 o'clock for me, 7 o'clock for you.
Yeah. I'm pulling the House at, they get 221 to 225.
That's very funny, Tom.
No, I'm sure it's laughable. That's what's going to happen, because I'm looking at all these other races, governors and the senators are going to, you know, I don't think this is going to be the cakewalk that the Republicans think it's going to be.
Oh, I do. I think we've seen this historically, Nixon, Reagan.
But this isn't historic. This is not. You can't look at past races when you look at this race. We've got too many things in here that we have never had in other races. All at once, Shane. No. Of course, we do.
I know. I that's why I said this is a generational. But my thought was, which I'd like to finish, is I see this as a down ballot race, a down ballot election. I don't think people are going to pick and choose, like, you know. Look, I mean, look at the state's governors, you know, in Massachusetts, Republican, you know, Delaware, Republican, you know. So, I mean, I think that it's going to be a down ballot race. People are going to start at the top and pick red all the way down. That's what I think. Could be wrong. It could be like you and you think, nope, they'll make different choices. But I don't see that. Yeah.
Well, the reason I see it, as I mentioned earlier, we've never had a ballot before that has the economy, inflation, Ukraine, abortion, oil and gas, green energy, subsidies, all at once, all on one ballot. I've never seen that in my lifetime.
Well, you know, the Democrats have tried really hard to push it away from that, right?
They have, but it's there. It's there. You know, crime is the other one.
Yeah, but that's why this is a down ballot race, because the Democrats haven't addressed any policy issues. This has all been from the Democratic side, an election on personality, and the reason was, They thought they could go with policy on abortion, and people aren't stupid. You know, they did it wrong. They could have been smart and said, the Supreme Court says it's up to the states. That's what they decided. The abortion is legal. So the Democrats would have been better to spend $500 million saying the Supreme Court has said it's up to the states. So we have to win states to keep abortion alive. That should have been their argument to make abortion on the ballot, but they got it wrong. And the political
doesn't matter. It's what the people think.
Well, yeah, what you called it, you said that was going to make the decision for this election.
It's making it in New York in the governor's race.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, I
don't. She's 10 points ahead.
That election is going to be decided because of crime and anarchy. I that's what I think. People aren't that stupid. They know that abortion in New York's legal. And they know you can have an abortion.
And they want to keep it legal.
Well, and that's what the Supreme Court said. You know, so, you know, it's...
Yeah,
it's
but that's like, why they're not... That's why they're not going to take a chance on a governor other than a Democrat.
I think there's more reasons. You just said so yourself. Look, Georgia's a perfect example. She talks about... unfair election policies, and she talks about it. You know, Georgia is a much state to live in, and she talks about abortion, and she's talking about all these issues that people don't care about. People care about inflation, the price of gas, education. They go to work, they go to buy food, and they have to make choices they don't want. They have no expendable income. It's all committed to survival. And Americans don't like that. They want to go out and buy stuff they want or need. you know, you know, that's just the way they are.
Yeah. Well, Kemp's got a significant lead there, and that should do well for Herschel Walker as well. If you're,
I've moved my position with Herschel to a win. I think he'll be an outright win. I think he'll end up with over 51% of the vote.
Yeah.
And it'll be African American men that that do it. You know, this is probably the last, maybe another it could be close to the last time that the African American vote in the United States, you know, those eligible and the turnout, you know, will be significant to the, compared to the Hispanic turnout. I think after this, Hispanics will, turn out vastly more. 240 million eligible voters in the U.S., 160 million voted 2020. That was 62%. So you know that was that's pretty impressive.
There could be more than that.
What's that?
There could be more than that this time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it hits 165, it's a Republican night. That's what I think.
Okay. All right. Moving to the Senate races, I want to leave Georgia and Pennsylvania till last, Shane.
Why not? They're going to come in last. Yeah. No, I mean, the vote on them is going to come.
Well, I know. It'll be weeks before we know.
I don't think so, but it'll be at least a week,
Yeah. Well, in the Senate, of course, Washington, that's Patty Murray, 54-45. She's got a sizable lead there still. But, you know, a lot of people think that could swing.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's because Murray's been there for 30 years. You know, all politics are local. We've always talked about that. In this case, it's really local. I mean, you know, when you've had someone with being in the U.S. Senate for six times, 30 years, since 92, basically, excuse me, you know, it's remarkable. Now, the key this year is a third, 25. Or 35 seats are up in the Senate every 2 years, are up. But it's 21 Republicans versus 14 Democrats. So, you know, you would think that this would be a good year for the Democrats. But
yeah,
you know,
think so, but
they've fallen into a pit, and the trouble is they haven't been trying to dig themselves out of the pit. They just keep digging a deeper hole in the pit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really, for Biden to come out this weekend and say, no more drilling. I haven't allowed drilling. And you know, we're closing all those coal plants, 400, you know, and you know, they closed, 200 already. And we've gone through these numbers, 32% of your electricity is produced by coal. I mean, it's like the guy, it's like the guy walked, because he believes the earth is flat, and he walked to the edge and he stepped off. I mean, that's literally where you're at with this guy. He's either just outright lying, or just saying what he's being told to, or worse, doesn't know. Yeah. That's the scary thing, that he may not even know.
Well, he's talking to his Democrat base, which wants all the green stuff. You know, they want the coal and everything gone. No one voting has any idea what percentage coal or oil or anything else is. They're too busy in their lives to know that stuff. So they really don't care.
Well, I just hope Richard Blumenthal loses in Connecticut.
He is so far ahead. It's off the charts. Yeah.
If I had a race that of all the races this year that I would like to see someone lose, is him. He's got apparently like a 63%,
Oh, yeah, he's way out in front. Maxine Waters, same thing there.
Again, regrettably, I don't mean to be demean or sound demeaning. I don't understand the people of Connecticut voting like this and voting for this guy. For personal reasons, policy reasons, political reasons, to continue putting someone like this in the Senate is pretty
all the good he's done for the state.
Look, for this month, I haven't said, but I will now. Welcome home. Thank you for your service, Thomas. This guy is an effing reject, okay? Need I say more?
That's it. They don't care.
I know.
The problem is that when Biden talks about the shutting down coal plants and shutting down all these things, he knows that Democrats will get out and vote. Republicans sit on their hands. I mean, that's what he's counting on, and that's why I say I only think the House is going to be, you know, as I said, what, 221 to 225 maybe, and the Senate probably 52 to 48. So,
well, you know, this is the first year in both House and Senate elections that the Republicans have put up so many women and minorities. And
true,
you know, yeah. Schumer's running. Mm-hmm. He's up for re-election. You know, he's been there since 98 when he defeated the Republican. Yeah. I don't know if you remember Al D'Amato. He was a pretty cool guy, actually. He's that Pataki group that got into New York and ran it and mm-hmm. saved the state back in the 90s. This Joe Pinion, you know, he's anyway, he doesn't have much of a chance, of course not. But he's an African American, successful businessman, and if Schumer wins, you know, he'll pass Daniel Patrick Moynihan as the longest running U.S. senator in history. So, you know, here's a guy that's been in the Senate since 98. I mean, Murray from Washington's been there longer than him, but you know,
incumbents go back 86% of the time, Shane.
I know, but you know, it's amazing because Murray should be the one that's the majority leader, not Schumer,
well, you know. Well, that's a vote, you know, that's an internal vote thing.
It just shows, but
but Schumer's head 58 to 39. I mean, come on.
I appreciate that, but we're going through this, so. I don't want to just talk about the odd sentences. I don't want to talk about other ones that are in.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, like I said, the squad's going back. Maxine Waters is going back. Pelosi's going back. Schiff's going back. Newsom's going back.
Well, that's what the polls say, right?
Well, that's it. they've been wrong before. And, you know, will they be accurate this time? Who knows?
Well, that's the interesting thing about tonight. Mm-hmm. The polls say a win for the Republicans. How big? Yeah. Like I said, is it a win, a wave, or a wasami? You know.
Yeah, or a trickle. You know.
No, maybe it'll be a wasabi wave with some real hot flavor.
Yeah, I don't think so. Pennsylvania, with the governor ahead, Oz has a minuscule lead, 49-5 to 48-5. 1 point. So there's 2 points in contention from other parties that may or may not flip. But I believe the governor is going to carry that one for Fetterman. And Fetterman also in Pennsylvania has the sympathy vote.
Well, I don't think this is a sympathy election. I think it's a policy election. It's generational. I'm going with that. And, the problem with this is it's going to take at least a week to find out who won because it's Philadelphia.
Well, we won't know it next Thursday when we see
Pennsylvania,
if we were right or wrong. Yeah,
yeah, it's a crooked state. I mean,
yeah,
you know, whether it's it depends on how long Philadelphia mm-hmm. takes to determine what the vote is. So and that's sort of sad because Pittsburgh's in Pennsylvania. Yeah. You know, there's some major industrial centers in that state. It's second only to Texas as far as gas and oil,
mm-hmm.
and being shut in by the Democrats. I can't understand that the people of Pennsylvania, which they don't rurally, so you know that because of the oil industry, but I more people go out and vote, that's going to be helpful. Number two is crime. Does Pennsylvania and the people of Philadelphia want to acknowledge that murder rate is worse than Chicago? Worse than Chicago? I mean, seriously. So you want anarchy? Great. Vote for Fetterman. Because that's, and I don't know why Oz and the Republicans didn't just make that a campaign policy. You know, all these Democrats are in favor of anarchy. If that's what you want, anarchy, vote for them. Because yeah. I'm against it. I'm going to support the police. I'm going to support the law. I'm against anarchy. And that's what it should be. Yeah. And then in these ads, they should have put stuff from all the, you know, the burning and looting and as much of it as they could, just to remind people of what went on in 21. You know, if you want another year of 21, vote for. Now, on the other hand, Americans might be thinking, oh, my God, maybe we've got to vote Democrat so we don't have a year of rioting and mayhem because we voted Republican. You know, that could be it, too.
Well, that's what I think. If Republicans win, as much as you think they will, there will be riots in the street, and all of that will definitely be happening. So let's move to Georgia, Shane. That's a dead heat. That's a dead heat between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. I predict this will go to a runoff because there's only 1.5% of other people running around out there, and that may or may not give somebody 50%, but they got to have 50%. They'll have a runoff in December. If they have a runoff in December, Warnock wins. December
6th. I'm going to say no, and I could be wrong, but the reason I say no is because I look at this with 1.5 million or over 1.5 million votes in early. I just see African-American men voting for Warnock. I mean, give me a break. The guy is a hero. He's a hero in the state. I mean, the great thing about picking someone in politics is name recognition. Yeah. And, I'm impressed by this guy, Walker, and I'll tell you why. When he first came in and, with the primary, and prior to the primary, May 24th, he clearly has had some instruction on speaking, not that he's not intelligent. He's very intelligent and successful businessman. Yeah. But, he didn't have that Obama flair. You remember that line when Obama was running for president back in I don't remember who said it, but for the first time, we have this good looking African man that can speak clearly. And he's really intelligent. Remember,
that was Biden. Yeah. Biden said he was clean. And
that's it. It was Biden. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Clean. And
talk about clean. Americans. Talk about Canadians must have a short memory, too.
I just didn't want to say it.
All right. Let me give you the bad news on Georgia.
Okay.
In July, they moved the All-Star game out of Georgia. Why? Voting laws. Every Democrat who can fog a mirror is going to challenge those voting laws, and they're going to turn out en masse in Georgia, particularly if it's a runoff. So Warnock's in.
Okay.
That's my analysis.
That's why we're good. I try to play the devil's advocate because
I understand that.
I don't have a dog in the fight.
Well, this is the voting law is what makes Georgia different this time around than other elections. And this was what I think all the pundits on TV are missing. They're looking at it like it's a normal election. It's not.
Well, that's not exactly true. In 2020, they had the highest turnout of African Americans in the state. Mm-hmm. And in fact, right now, the pre-vote of over 1.5 million, it's just ahead of 2020 by 200,000.
And what did Stacey Abrams say back then? Voter suppression, I won.
Yeah, that's right. She refused to acknowledge that he won. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Well, Democrats are famous for that.
Yeah, I understand that. The same thing will happen this time around, but
Warnock is going to be there.
They are.
A week ago. I mean, did you see that article in the Washington Post? I mean, the election machines aren't reliable and they can be hacked.
Of course.
I mean, come on, seriously?
Yeah.
They're setting this up. I'm getting excited. Sorry.
Yeah.
And they know how bad this is going to be, so that they can claim that it was rigged. You know,
well, that's
the Republicans cheated.
Well, good. that's the problem, Shane, that Americans have lost confidence in our elections. They just have.
Well, that's because of the demolition party. I mean,
well, it doesn't matter who the fault is.
Well, of course it doesn't.
You know, if we've lost confidence, what is the matter? Who's responsible?
Because if the Democrats can't run your country, they can't rule. They want to destroy it. Okay, they want a civil war. They've done it before. They were successful doing it. It was horrific. And on and on. All through the 19th century, the Democratic Party, I mean, the KKK of the 32 election with FDR. And I mean, you know, come on, 152 members of the Democratic Party were members, no, accepted members in the House of Representatives of the KKK, and 16 Democrat senators. I mean, come on, like Bird, like, you know, I mean, he was a golden wizard. I mean, yeah, these people are bad, Tom. They've always been bad.
Well, as I say, I'll predict the Senate Republicans 52 will get to two seats, 48 to the Democrats, and between 218 and 225 for the House. That's my prediction.
If that's your prediction, then you know, that's a huge night on your side of the table for the Republicans. That's a limited possibility to what I see. I just see a real generational swing here. Mm-hmm. And it'll come down to millennials. I mean, you know, the millennial generation, 85 to 2005, my daughters, you know, born in 80, you know, in the early 80s, but you know, they're part of that generation, or, you know, 65 to 85 rather. And you know, they're a bigger generation than us. You know, we were 72 million, they're 73. So, you know, this is their vote. Yeah. It's going to, the millennials are going to have a lot to say to this.
Yeah. Well, the Republicans, theoretically, based on some models, could pick up 59 to 41. But boy, that's a real stretch. I'm more in the ballpark, I think, with the 221 to 220 or 51 to 52. Seats in the Senate, and in the House, they're talking about 84 to 16. I'm still going with 221 to 225, because that's where the odds are the highest to go into that area.
Well, the other thing this is it's like the World Series, you know, a walk-on three-run homer, right? And they
walk
win.
Off. Yeah, walk-off home run.
Or walk-off, walk-on, whatever. The guy walked on, two bases, bam, over the fence, and, you know, they win.
It's over, yeah.
That would be the Republicans getting 61 seats, and that would be the Republicans getting two-thirds majority in the House. Now you have the ultimate. And I'm not saying that's happening. No one's talked about it. But we should mention it. If the Republicans were like beyond belief, anybody got 61 seats in the Senate, now they can do anything, right?
Yeah.
And if they got two-thirds majority in the House as well, then they could overrule a Biden,
veto. Yeah, they could. They could overturn a veto.
He's a dead duck president anyway, I think. But you know, now he would die twice.
Yeah. Well, we want the Senate to get at least 51 or 52 because of the Supreme Court. You don't need Biden's to sign off on any Supreme Court judge. That's done by the Senate, and you're either in or you're out. So
I don't see any judges at this point really retiring before the next election. I really don't.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any retirements, but there could be deaths.
There could be, but. Very slim.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about 80s, couple of them, you know, so.
Yeah, well, come on.
You know that's where I am.
This is the 21st century. they say if you survive till 2025, you'll live over 100 years.
Really? Wow.
That's what they're saying. That's what all the medical reports and everything are saying. And, you know.
Okay. Well, the basic premise is that Republicans are slightly favored to win the Senate, and the Republicans are favored to win the House. So that's what it'll come down to. They may split the House and the Senate back and forth.
Anything's possible, right?
Yeah. Well, of course. Bruce thinks 300 seats in the House, 70 seats in the Senate.
There you go, buddy. He's my man.
Bruce is on it.
He's my man.
He's very optimistic. thanks, Bruce, for that. All right. Appreciate it. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up, Shane. Any final thoughts on these races? We've covered governors, senators, representatives.
I'm all in. You see me. I got my red shirt instead of my blue or white shirt, and I'm going to switch this for Thursday. So I'm going to start wearing this instead of a blue shirt now.
Okay.
I've been wearing a blue shirt on Thursdays because the Dems have had the House and Senate. Now I get to go to red.
Okay.
And white on Monday or white on Tuesdays will be, bipartisan.
Okay.
It's the Canadian. Yeah. The white shirt's the Canadian look.
Yeah. Well, when we come back on Thursday, we'll be able to tell, well, with the exception of probably Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. And Washington.
Don't forget, bring a candle.
And Michigan and New York.
Happy birthday to you.
No. I'll mute you.
Well, then they'll be able to read my lips. Everybody knows happy birthday.
No, I'll take you off the screen. I'll mute you and take you off. You're not singing to me.
Okay.
That ain't going to happen.
I just did. I'm ahead of you.
Well, you're not going to. That's as much as you get. That's the singing that's going to be ended. So, but anyway, on Thursday, we may not have any of the stuff. We may not have any results anywhere by the time this thing rolls around.
Oh, no, so. We'll have results for the House. And
doubt it. Doubtful.
Huh?
Doubtful. In the states that count, doubtful.
No, we'll know governorships in Florida and
but those states
New
don't
York,
count.
Wisconsin, Texas, Oregon.
Those states don't count.
Yeah, we'll know who.
They don't count.
Of course they do.
No, they don't. Washington, we won't get anything out of Washington. We won't get anything out of Pennsylvania. We won't get anything out of Georgia. We won't get anything out of Arizona or Nevada. I mean, come on. Well, Thursday, we won't know what any of those races are. Trust me.
Okay. You say so, Eagle Man. I believe you.
All right. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to us. Hey, we picked up a lot of subscribers lately, and we really appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for subscribing to us. We're on the verge of 500 subscribers, Shane. Right on the verge, man. So hit that subscribe button down in the lower right-hand corner of the screen or under the screen if you're watching this, if you're watching the replay of this. And
the merge of the verge, baby.
Yeah, and tell your friends, share this with them, and see if we're right on Thursday when we come back, and check it out. So, and if you'd like to support us monetarily, there is some cost involved in putting this on. We would appreciate that. There's a link in the description below for how you can do that. And if you'd like to make videos like Shane and I do in a professional, really high-quality manner, make some money on YouTube, we use Streamline. It's easy to use, and we would like for you to check that out. There's StreamYard. A free StreamYard. Yeah, Streamline. That's our bus stop here, or a bus line here. StreamYard.
That's what I'm heading for, a bus stop, buddy.
I'm heading for a bus stop. Yeah. So, all right. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, we appreciate you guys so much, and thank you for being here. Don't forget to share this with your friends and let them know that we're here. And we will come back on Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, to see how well or how badly we did. So we'll see you then.